We've been in a study of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to take a break from that this morning, since it is Resurrection Sunday. We're going to look at the resurrection of Christ. We're going to go to Matthew 28. We'll be reading the first 10 verses for our text this morning. And here we come to the climax of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus. And the central event of all this, of course, is his resurrection. And it's really the central event of all of God's redemptive history for mankind. So if you want, follow along in your Bibles, Matthew 28. We begin with verse number 1. It said, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here. For he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre, with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Amen. Let me just give a few comments on the reading here. The angels did not move the stone to let Jesus out. Jesus was already gone. He had the power to escape a sealed tomb. He could walk through walls. He did that in the upper room, and later he appeared to the apostles. He just walked through the wall and appeared unto them. So the angels were not opening it up to let him out. They opened it up so the disciples could see in, to see that the tomb was empty. And he said, go tell his disciples. And later Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. See, the women were the first to be able to tell the good news. He is risen. Now, think about this. We may be the last generation to tell the good news. I believe the coming of Christ is near at hand. I believe we are the last generation of the church age. And we got a great responsibility to share the gospel with everyone and tell them the good news that Jesus is risen and is returning one day soon. The doctrine of the resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. See, everything we are, everything we have, everything we hope to be is predicated on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's so important. There'd be no Christianity without the resurrection. Abraham willingly obeyed God's command to sacrifice his son Isaac. Because in faith, the Bible says, Hebrews 11:19, that he accounted that God was able to raise him even from the dead. So Isaac was kind of given as a type of the death and resurrection of Christ to come. There are many such things in the Bible that foreshadowed this event, that Christ would come, he would die in our place, and he would be resurrected. And his resurrection, why it's so important, is because it guarantees our resurrection. The Bible says his is the first fruits of a greater harvest yet to come. You might jot this verse down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 through 22. Says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept or died. For since by man came death, by Adam, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Amen. It's sad that throughout history, so many have denied this great doctrine. They've mocked the resurrection of Christ. But folks, only a fool tries to explain this away. The death and resurrection of Christ, really, it's our only hope. It's our only hope of salvation and eternal life. So it is fundamental. And honestly, you cannot deny the resurrection of Christ and be saved. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, you're not saved. Because the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Without it, there's no salvation. Without it, there's no hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 13, and 14, he said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain. And your faith is also vain. That's how important this is. On that Pentecost day when Peter preached to the great crowds, he said in Acts 2:24, speaking of Jesus, he said, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Amen. Amen. Jesus himself said that this is the foundation of our faith. He said in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Amen. You want to take notes? First of all, let's note the prophecy. The prophecy of his resurrection. And it is found in the Old Testament. Many think the resurrection is only in the New Testament, but there are many Old Testament scriptures and prophecies that foretold the resurrection of the Messiah. Now I want to jot some of these verses down. Psalm 16:10. The psalmist said, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, or the place of departed spirits, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One, that's the Messiah, you will not suffer him to see corruption. His body would never see decay, because it would be risen. Now, David's not writing about himself. He's talking about the Messiah, who would not be left in the grave, but would be risen. Peter used that scripture on the day of Pentecost. He quoted Psalm 16:10. He said, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell or Hades, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption, Acts 2:27. He quoted this. And so did Paul. Paul quoted the psalmist in Acts 13, verses 35 through 37. He said, wherefore he saith in another psalm, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid into his fathers and saw corruption. David was, his body did decay. He's not talking about David. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. So just pointing out, the Old Testament spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah and how it would come. It pointed to the one whom God would raise from the dead. There's other Old Testament scriptures. You might write this down, Daniel 12:2. There it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's a resurrection of the saved and of the unsaved. There's Job. Job spoke of this in Job 14:14. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Speaking of getting that glorified body. He also said in Job 19:25, I love this one. What a great testimony from Job. He said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Is that your testimony today? I hope so. What a great hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's found in the Old Testament and is fulfilled in the New Testament. Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. After 3 days, he would rise again. Write these down. Matthew 12, verse 40. Spoke of Jonah being in the belly of the whale. And he said, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Another occasion, John 2:19. Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now the temple, he wasn't talking about Herod's temple. He's talking about his body. Right? The Bible says the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he is saying, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Jesus knew what was coming. The people were confused that he was speaking of the temple. How could Jesus rebuild the temple in 3 days? But he's not talking about that. He knows that he came to die and that he would be raised again. I'll give you another verse. Mark 8, verse 31. It says, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. So several times Jesus spoke of his death and resurrection. See, folks, the resurrection was not something that God dreamed up after his son was nailed to a cross. It was in the determinate counsel of the triune God at the beginning of time that this would be the way. Write this verse down, Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Again, Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost. He said, him, speaking of Jesus, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that Jesus should be holden of it. Amen. Verse after verse after verse speaks of the resurrection and how important it is to our faith. So let's think secondly about the priority of his resurrection. So, Brother West, why is it so important that there be a resurrection? I think one thing it shows Jesus is the giver of life. You remember the story of his friend Lazarus who got sick. And they sent for Jesus, hoping he could come and heal Lazarus. But Jesus did not come. And Lazarus died. Jesus didn't even show up for the funeral, did he? It was days later, he finally shows up and visits with Lazarus' sisters. And people may have wondered, why didn't he come? Lazarus was one of his best friends. Why, he'd healed many other people. Why did he not come and heal Lazarus? But Jesus had something else in mind, didn't he? He wanted to show his power over death and the grave. That's where he said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he raised Lazarus from the dead. So folks, the gospel story is threefold. It is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. If you want a definition of the gospel in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4, gives you a definition of the gospel. Paul said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." He died, was buried, and rose again. Folks, that's the gospel story. That's the gospel story we need to be sharing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, 15. Without the resurrection, there's no gospel. Amen. Amen. Folks, if Jesus is still dead, we have no hope. We have no hope. Yet the Bible proclaims in 1 Corinthians 15, 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." There's a priority of the resurrection. And then third, I want you to see the proofs of the resurrection. Now this is important. There are proofs. There's evidence that backs all of this up. Two thoughts here. First of all, I want you to think about the testimony of the witnesses that was challenged. There were many eyewitnesses that claimed that they saw Jesus after his death and resurrection. You know, the Jewish council bribed the soldiers to say that the disciples had come and stolen the body of Jesus. That's why the tomb was empty. And yet the Bible says there are many eyewitnesses. 1 Corinthians 15, again, we're in this a lot because 1 Corinthians 15 is the great chapter on the resurrection. I challenge you to just read that chapter sometime and notice all that it says here about the need, the importance of the resurrection. But here Paul listed those who saw Jesus alive after his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, said that he was seen of Cephas. Now, Cephas was Peter. Then of the 12, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, at the time this was written, but some are fallen asleep, some have died. After being seen by 500, he was seen of James, his brother James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me, Paul, also, as one born out of due time. Now, folks, listen. There were 500 people who were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Many of them went to their death refusing to deny what they saw. They suffered persecution. They suffered martyrdom. Because they would not deny what they had seen. Now, Chuck Colston, my generation remembers Watergate, Nixon's tenure. And Nixon's men, when it came down to them going to prison, they all kind of changed their tune, didn't they? See, listen to me. People will not die for a lie. You're not going to die for a lie, but you will die for the truth. These 500 brethren, most of them suffered martyrdom because they would refuse to deny what they had seen. Eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. The second thing I want you to see is the time of worship was changed because of the resurrection. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, the Jews worshipped on Saturday. The Sabbath refers to the seventh day. That's what it means. So the day of worship throughout the Old Testament period was Saturday, the Sabbath day. So why are we worshiping on Sunday? Why don't we worship on the Sabbath day of the Old Testament? Well, the Bible says that, especially in the book of Acts, Paul was accustomed to meeting with others on the first day of the week for worship. Instead of the seventh day, the early church met on a Sunday. Acts 20, verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, then the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached unto them. He instructed the church at Corinth to use their Sunday services to gather offerings for a benevolence fund that he was going to take back to Jerusalem to help the suffering Christians there. So you see in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul said, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye," talking to the church in Corinth. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings or no collections when I come." So you see over and over again that the early church was in the practice of meeting on the first day of the week for worship. They did that to celebrate the resurrection. Christ arose on a Sunday, on the first day of the week. And so they began to meet on that day to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do it today. So, the reason for the change in worship days is to testify to the risen Savior that we worship. The fourth thing I want you to see this morning is the purpose. The purpose of his resurrection. First of all, it tells us that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ. You know, Christ is just another word for Messiah. It's not his last name. Right? It's not Jesus Christ, his last name. It's Jesus the Messiah. It's what Christ means. So the purpose of the resurrection is to show us that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, as he claimed to be. It brought many good things to the people of God. It identifies the Lord Jesus of Nazareth, the fact that he rose from the dead, proved that he is the Son of God. Romans 1:4 says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." That's what it shows us. He is the Son of God with power. Now, some people would argue, say, "Well, Brother West, there's other people that died and were raised back to life. I mean, this doesn't prove Jesus is the Messiah. We read about some in the Old Testament, some in the New Testament, that had died and were brought back to life." But that's not a resurrection. Being raised back to life is not a resurrection. A resurrection is when you receive a glorified body and never die again. Those who had died, like Lazarus, they got back the old temporary body and they died again. Every one of them suffered death. Only Jesus was resurrected to never see death again. And the resurrection we're waiting for is the same kind of resurrection. Amen? Jesus said in John 10:18, that nobody would take his life. He said, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." Amen. Having power to return to life proves that indeed Jesus is God the Son. And because he's God the Son, he's in heaven and he can intercede on our behalf. He's there not only as our Savior, he's there as our great high priest to intercede for his people. See that in Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Remember, Stephen had preached and was taken out and stoned to death. They dragged him out of the city and were stoning him to death. And the Bible says that Stephen looked up and he said the heavens parted and he saw the Lord Jesus standing to welcome him home. Stephen's another eyewitness who saw the risen Savior waiting to receive him when he died. Jesus is in heaven. He's there to hear our prayers. He still cares for us. When someone calls on God for help, Jesus is always there to plead our case. So there's the fact that Jesus is the Christ that's seen here, but also that judgment is to come. Because Jesus is alive, the Bible says he is our judge. Right? Paul preached to the people at Athens and warned them that God will bring judgment on this world. How can we know that? How can we know judgment is coming? Paul said in Acts 17:31, he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead. Because Jesus is alive, one day we will stand before him. Everybody in this room will stand before Jesus. If you're saved, you'll be at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment of sin, is it? It's just to examine your life to see whether or not you deserve any rewards. There's another judgment. 1,000 years later, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. That's for all unbelievers. All those who die without Christ will stand before Jesus in that judgment. But you will see Jesus. You'll stand before him. I hope you stand with the believers at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're not saved, my friend, wouldn't this be a great day to get saved on Easter Sunday? To come and just give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and put all your faith and trust in him. Know that when this day comes, he will not be your judge to cast you into hell. But he will be that one who can reward you for a life well lived. So the resurrection of Christ guarantees us that there will be a judgment day for all people. His resurrection is a promise of our resurrection to come. Amen. Since he's alive, we also have hope that we will live forever. Those who've trusted in Christ, he is your risen Lord and Savior. And folks, he's coming back one day soon. See, I get tired of you preachers saying that. Well, get used to it. Because we're going to keep saying it. Until he comes. He's coming. There's no doubt in my mind. The Lord's coming. And I believe we are the last generation. I believe his coming is very, very soon. And if you're not saved, do not put off your salvation. Do not put it off. That's so dangerous. You need to come to Christ today and trust him as your Savior. So you see, the resurrection of Christ, how important it is. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 15:19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If all this is a lie, if none of this is true, we are the most miserable. But I don't worry about that. I'm convinced the Bible is the Word of God. There's so much evidence to back it up. And that God has shown us what is to come. The hope that a child of God can have. Folks, it's all based upon the fact Jesus is alive today. That is our blessed hope. Because he lives, as we say, we can face tomorrow. There was a little news item in Newsweek years ago. It was a letter from Greenville County in South Carolina to the Department of Social Services. It was from that department, written to a dead person. Here's what it said. Your food stamps will be stopped effective immediately because we received notice that you passed away. You may reapply if there's a change in your circumstances. I wonder if somebody wrote that with tongue in cheek. But the only one I know of whose circumstances have changed regarding death is the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's risen. He lives today. Praise his name. As we stand together, we're going to have a hymn of invitation before we close. As I said, if you've not been saved, then you need to come to Jesus today. Stop waiting for a better time, because there's not a better time than today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now, folks, listen. Jesus is willing and he is ready to save you today. He's ready. The Bible says, whosoever shall come to the Lord shall be saved. So it's up to you whether or not you will come, whether you're ready to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Others may need to come for baptism or church membership. We'll always bow our heads here for a moment before we sing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We just pray that if you're not saved, that you will take advantage of this opportunity today. Right now, you can pray. From your seat, just pray and say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. I do believe Jesus is your Son. I do believe he died on the cross for my sins. I do believe he's risen again. And today, the best I know how, I'm putting my faith and trust in him as my Lord and Savior. Would you do that today? Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Come into my life today and save me.